Welcome to Fire and Wind, all you worshipers out there. Thank you, Jesus. We give you glory for tonight, Lord. Draw the people into worship. Draw them in to worship your name, to lift your name high above every other name on the earth, God. You deserve the glory. You deserve the praise. You deserve the honor. You are worthy, worthy, worthy. Holy, holy, holy. We want to see you for the way you really are. Not some plastic Jesus. Not some lower God. No, the Almighty God. Omniscient. You know everything. Omnipresent. You are everywhere. And omnipotent. You are all powerful. Father, as we are learning about how to be sons and daughters of the Most High and press into that role, that identity, God, we pray that you would squeeze out of us all orphan heart. All our orphan heart, just squeeze it out of us, Father, that we be purely your sons and daughters in all the benefits and inheritance and encounters that involves, Father. We thank you, God, that you're here with us tonight. You're here to receive our worship. God, it's for you. It's not for us per se. It's given to you, but it splashes back on us, Father, in helping us to relate to you, to lift you higher, to see how mighty you really are. The enemy has been trying to shrink you all week, trying to shrink you down to a small, small size. And Lord, worship allows you to be who you really are. Thank you, Father. We give you glory for that. We press in and give you praise for that, God. We desire to see you the way you really are. Yes, Lord, you can reveal it to us. Out of your word, you can reveal it to us by the Spirit. You can show the flesh who's boss. By our spirit rising up inside of us, entwined with Holy Spirit. Thank you, God. That brings us joy just to think about it, that we have that privilege. You've brought us out of the pig pen, Father, to an embrace of our Father. And then you take us into the banqueting room and celebrate and sing over us and draw us near to your heart. Show us things that we could never see without a relationship with you, without being close to you, God. We thank you for that, Lord. May that only increase. May that only be more, more, more in the Spirit for us, God. We need that connection with you. You are high and higher, and Lord, you will never change. But God, we have to change. We need to change. We press in to change. We love to change. We want you to search us so we can change. We want you to encounter us so we will change. We want to be thirsty for change and hungry for change. Yes, God. Yes, God. We press into that, Lord. We press into that, Lord. We love it that you're here for us. Are we here for you? Are we willing to bow our hearts before you, God? If we bow our heads, that's pretty good. Bow our bodies down, pretty good. But Lord, you're really looking for us to bow our hearts to you. Let that oneness flow that you have in the Godhead. You want us to be part of it. As your family, the oneness, John 15, the oneness that you have with the Father, Jesus, Holy Spirit, you want us to experience that. You want us to enjoy that. We'll never be as high as you are, and that's a good thing, but we can be one with you, one in heart, one in spirit. Our soul can line up with you, Lord. Under the direction of the Holy Spirit, directing our spirit to rise up over our mind, that you're truly on the throne of our hearts. You are on the throne in heaven. We have to ask, are you on the throne of our hearts as we approach you tonight in worship? You can adjust that. You can move in that. You can work in that to draw us closer, draw us near. As we draw near to you, you certainly promise to draw near to us. We receive that, Lord, as sons and daughters. God, we're going to say that a lot over the next few weeks. It needs to get deep into our souls. We need the orphan squeezed out of us. All the negativity of the orphan, all the flesh of the orphan squeezed out, in the spirit rising up, the spirit being greater in us, our spirit responding fully, obediently, excitedly, expectantly to the Holy Spirit, to Holy Spirit, to Holy Spirit. Jesus, work in us tonight. Work in us tonight. Work in us tonight. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. You give life. You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. You give life. You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. It's our breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. You are love. You bring light to our darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. Great are you, Lord. In our lungs, so we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you, oh. All the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you.
you, Lord. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so you pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. All the earth will shout your praise, and hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour to you only. Father, we come before you. We do pour out our praise to you with all the air in our lungs, all the gratitude in our hearts, to praise you for who you are, God, for what you're doing right now and in our future, God. You are in the future, preparing the future for us. Your plans are good. You desire for us to go higher, to be closer to you in whatever you call us to. You're already there, and you're saying, come, come into the future. Come into the future
If you could only see what I have planned for you, how you fit into my overall plan for the kingdom to expand. Come, son, daughter, come. Come into the future. Let the future come into the now as I call you into the future that I have planned for you. You're calling us forward. You won't wallow with us in our failures. You're calling us forward, forward. Come, son. Come, daughter. Enjoy the future I have planned for you. I'm here in the future, calling you forward, calling you over all the obstacles, all the hurdles. My voice calling to you, you will be able to jump over those obstacles, those hurdles. You'll be able to get over all the water problems in between me and you. You'll be able to swim. You'll be able to jump. You'll be able to fly into my future for you as I empower you. Can you get a picture of that in your spirit for yourself? It's really not about you. You'll be happiest when it's about him. You'll be happiest about your future when it's about him. He's so great and mighty. He can cover our past with his blood. He can speak to us in the now and draw us into the future where he's right there calling us to himself. What a mighty God. What an incredibly mighty God you are, Lord. We worship you with that in mind, Lord. Yes, God. We're thirsty. He's calling all who are thirsty. All who are thirsty. All who are weak. Come to the fountain. Dip your heart in the streams of life. Let the pain and the sorrow be washed away in the waves of his mercy as deep cries out to deep. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come. All who are thirsty, all who are weak, yes, come to the fountain. Dip your heart in the stream of life. Let the pain and the sorrow, yes, be washed away in the waves of your mercy, Lord. As deep cries out to deep, come, Lord Jesus, come, 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 Lord Jesus, come, 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 Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Holy Spirit. into this room, oh God. Holy Spirit, come, come, keep coming, Lord, come. Holy Spirit, come, 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 here we are, Lord. Holy Spirit, come. All who are thirsty, yes, all who are weak, yes, come to the fountain. Dip your heart in the stream of life. Let the pain and the sorrow be washed away in the waves of His mercy as deep cries out to deep. All who are thirsty, all who are weak, come to the fountain. Dip your heart in the stream of life. Let the pain and the sorrow be washed away in the waves of your mercy, Lord. As deep cries out to deep, come, Lord Jesus, come. Keep coming, Lord. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, come. We need you, Lord. Come, Lord Jesus. Come. Come, Lord Jesus. Come. Spirit, come, fill us, Lord, fill us, Lord. Holy Spirit, come, come to the hungry heart, hungry heart, come to the thirsty soul. Thirsty soul, come to the hungry heart. Please come, come to the thirsty soul. Come, come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Come to sons and daughters who are hungry to hear what you have to say. Yes, come to your sons and daughters. Encounter them today, Lord. Dreams and visions and words right from your heart to us. Father, Abba, Father. We want to encounter you. We want to be with you. We're drawing close. We're drawing in. You will fill us up within. With your presence and power. Receive, receive. Orphans run, sons and daughters receive from you. Orphans run far away to the pig pen, but sons and daughters receive what you have for them, Lord. We're sons and daughters. We've left our orphan heart to be in your family, Lord. At the banqueting table, you'll find us seated, expected in heart to hear your voice, to be with you, to eat with you. The feast of the table, in the presence of our enemies, they're held back by our fellowship, Lord. Close, close, close to you. Close, close, drawing in to you. Release your communication, Father, right now, as we draw into your heart. Release your heavenly communication, Lord, right to our hearts. Speak to us, God. Dreams and visions, words, still small voice of the Holy Spirit. We sense you are here. We know you are here. Rise up like a fountain inside us and surround us with your love, Lord. All who are thirsty, draw from the well. Living water, living water, offered to a woman, now offered to us in a whole new way. You live inside us. We receive. We receive. We drink deeply. All who are thirsty, come to your Father. Drink from his well. There's no well like the Father's well. Deep and wide. Deep and wide. Deep and wide. Living water, living water, living water, living water. Drink living water, drink it in. Drink it in, come again with your cup, with your bucket too. Have more living water, living water, living water. Come with your cup, with your bucket, to take living water, from your Father, from your Father, from your Father, from your Father.
I want to talk a little bit more about being a son or daughter, what that means. Sorry. Oh, I might go right back into worship at some point. Please. On Sunday, we opened up this topic about the orphan heart and how we need the Father's heart. We need sonship. Simple concept. But so many people are not walking out being a son or daughter to the fullness of what they can. We talked about the prodigal son, how he was the ultimate orphan. He actually decided to be an orphan after he had all the benefits of the Father's house. We certainly don't want to be taking that path. Choosing to be an orphan when we're in the Father's house. So he had all the benefits of sonship. And he said, Father, just give it to me so I can selfishly live my own life and spend it on myself. You know how that worked out. He ended up wasting all of his inheritance, ended up in a pig pen. He had to eat the same things as the pigs. Now, in the Jewish culture, you know, not so hot to be around a lot of pigs. Not exactly where you want to be. It's the ultimate in being humbled if you see it at all. How did I get here? I'm a Jew. I'm hanging out with pigs. It's not where I should be. And eating what they eat. So suddenly he came to himself. I would say that's the conviction of the Holy Spirit. You don't actually come to yourself without the conviction of the Holy Spirit. An unbeliever doesn't come to himself without the conviction of the Holy Spirit, the Bible says. So certainly a believer needs that same input from the Holy Spirit to come to himself and realize his position, realize where he's at. In the pig pen, the lowest of the lowest, eating this, not even the corn that the pigs have, but just the husks, trying to survive. And suddenly the Holy Spirit gets through when you're at the bottom. What do I have just down the road to my Father's house? And it's not so much what's in the house. It's not so much the surroundings of heaven or the surroundings of the Father's environment. It's the Father. That's what he headed for, whether he knew it or not. And that was called a 180 turn. He had to go back 180 degrees, the same as we do in repentance. Headed towards the Father. The Father wouldn't even let him get his prepared speech out. He hugs him so closely, probably muffled what he was trying to say, because in his actions of repentance, they spoke louder than his words. In him headed towards the Father, in his heart and the home that the Father represented spoke louder than any speech he could give, any words, really any words of repentance. His heart was already speaking. I am repenting. I'm returning home to my Father's heart. I'm going to my Father who has my best in mind. I was a fool to leave his presence, to leave his power, to wander away, to think I could spend his inheritance on myself. Foolishness. It goes right through the fingers. And as you know, the Father celebrated him right in the robe, because he gave him the robe, he gave him the shoes, he gave him the ring, special status of you're welcome back in the family. All these things have many meanings. Taking on the robe, the covering of Christ, the shoes that will take the gospel where it needs to be taken, anywhere. And identity. I have the ring of the Father on my, I am identified with the Father. I'm an ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then they go and have a party. The Father is the one that's celebrating. And you know, the other prodigal we talked about on Sunday was the older brother. He was as much a prodigal. He just happened to stay around the surroundings of the father. He was kind of in the area, but his heart was as far away as the prodigal, his younger brother, the prodigal. Because he became jealous. He wanted to be celebrated. He couldn't even enter in the celebration of his lost brother, the father's lost son. He couldn't celebrate with the heart of the father for that lost one. No, he wanted for himself. Celebrate me. Let me get my friends together and party me. Party me. What about me? What about me? What about my world? What about my pleasure? And the father was very gentle with him. Basically said, you know, you've always been here and I've loved you. In a sense, you have nothing to be jealous about. I've always loved you. I've always loved your brother. There's no difference. I really love you both. Why would you be jealous, in a sense? Why would you not want to celebrate the one that was lost that is now found? We don't know if the prodigal older brother really got the picture, got the message. We do know that his younger brother got the message. He came home. He turned around. He had the repentant heart. And the father rewarded it by welcoming him into all the inheritance. See, the father could not run out of inheritance. He could give that younger son half, all. It doesn't matter, because the inheritance still flows in. He can redeem the time. He can redeem the loss that went through the fingers of the younger brother. The father wasn't any less rich. He didn't have any less inheritance. But it's what we're going to do with the inheritance that he's willing to give us. On Sunday, with I think almost everyone coming up front, you reconnected to whatever degree you needed to with that inheritance that he wants to pour out on you. You connected with your daughter heart, your son heart, with the father that much closer. No one was saying that you're so far away. Come, come, come. It was however far away you are, don't go all the way to the pig pen. No, don't even take 3 steps towards the pig pen. Come and draw into the father and let him reward that repentance. Let him reward that coming home to his heart in a deeper way. And there were many that just received from their father. You know, you could continue this way out of orphanness if you value the word of God. You dive into the word of God. We are going to go through on Sunday some verses on all these areas. But if you dive into the word of God in a whole new, fresh way, you'll get fresh revelation. You'll hear the Father speaking to you in a fresh way now that you're letting him squeeze out the orphanness. Sons and daughters love to hear the Father's voice. Remember John 10, where he says, the sheep will hear my voice. Part of it is the sheep are in the Word of God where he speaks to us. Obviously, the Spirit of God, drawing close to the Spirit of God, listening for the Holy Spirit when you make decisions, not just making a decision on your own, not just thinking of your own self-interest, but involving the Holy Spirit. Many of you are discovering what that's like. And it's an amazing journey when you're having an ongoing conversation with the Holy Spirit as you walk through your day. You're talking to Him. You're inviting Him into your circumstances. You find yourself talking to Him while you're doing dishes. You're talking to Him while you're changing the oil on the car or having it changed somewhere. While you're driving, you're talking to Him. And if another driver looks over, they'll see you worshiping. They'll see you talking. And they wonder who you're talking to because they don't see anybody else in your car when they pull up beside you at the stoplight. That's where you want to be. You want to be weird. You want to be strange. You want to be so peculiar that people wonder what is going on with that person. And if they engage you, they ask you, which in the Bible it says they will. They will ask you for the hope. Why do you have such hope in you that you talk in your car, you are singing in your car, you forgot the window was down and I could hear you? What's going on with you? Where did you get this hope? And you can point out your Father. You can point out Holy Spirit, and you can point to Jesus on the cross and His resurrection. That's how. Doesn't have a whole lot to do with me. I'm a receiver. I just stopped running away and I started receiving. I stopped resisting and I took the hand out of God's face so that He could pour it out on me. And what an experience it's been. And of course, we already mentioned repentance. It's crying out to God. Crying out to Him. Not letting that go as something that you don't do during the day. When He points out something in you, you right away cry out, "Oh, Father, forgive me, forgive me." You can even have joy on your face while you're repenting because it's so refreshing, according to Acts 3:19. You're in fellowship with the Father, getting closer as you admit, "I don't always do it right, God. I haven't done it right today very much, but I know I'm your son, I'm your daughter. How do you forgive me? Your grace, your mercy is incredible towards me, your son, towards me, your daughter." And that leads us into receiving whatever He has to discipline us, to chasten us. Chastening, the discipline of the Lord, according to the Bible, is such a good thing. We can actually thank Him for correcting us, and we volunteer for the correction. Probably when we were children, we didn't volunteer very often to be paddled or to be sternly talked to or whatever, put in the corner, whatever your deal was with your parents. My parents used a paddle, and my father used a belt. But he never hit me anywhere but on my gluteus maximus. I just didn't have much gluteus and not much maximus. So it kind of stung. But doesn't matter what discipline the Father gave, you probably didn't volunteer for it. I remember hiding under a bed to get away from it. And it worked the first time he looked around the house. But the second time, saw my brother under the bed, and he took care of business. I look back on that and think, wow, you know, he had the self-control never to hit me on the back or in the head or anything like that, slap me or any of that. He always hit me in the proper spot that gave me discipline, that showed me what he didn't like. And that can bring humility in us where we don't have to be constantly disciplined, constantly chastened by the Lord. We actually humble ourselves in the situation before we do something stupid. Before we follow the spirit of stupid, we humble ourselves before Him and, wow, I was obedient this time. This is awesome. I was obedient for 10 whole minutes straight. in a very stressful situation. It can happen, and it can happen more than 10 minutes. That's what he wants for us, that sanctifying of our decisions, that sanctifying of drawing into him first before we go off and to the right or to the left. Counsel helps with that. Sometimes we don't know exactly what's right to do, what's wrong to do. The Bible has much to say about the value of counsel, godly counsel. Now, that doesn't mean, like Job, he had a bunch of friends, they were all mixed up, and they had all their theories and everything else for chapter after chapter after chapter after chapter after chapter. And when God spoke, that's when everything became clear. You don't want to really receive counsel from the world, right? Counsel from the devil, you don't want that. And sometimes counsel from people that probably have been long-term associates, you might call them friends. You want the counsel of godly friends and godly leaders. And that takes a bit of discipline, not just to take every opinion that people throw. You need to keep your circle small on major decisions that you make. Small, but more than one counsel. Because the Bible talks about the safety net of having many counselors. I don't think it's talking about 20, though. It may be talking about 4, 5, 6 at the most. And most of the time, you don't go to that many people to get a decision, get some counsel for a decision. So much wisdom and counsel. And of course, the end all is just surrender. Surrender brings freedom. Just surrender. Just say, Lord, you're bigger, you're greater, you're more mighty, you know what's going on. I don't. I surrender. I surrender. I don't know what to do. You're the one that can guide. You're the one that can lead. I give you that right in my life. I want you to put fuel into the tank, and I want you to take the steering wheel. You put the Holy Spirit fuel in my tank, and you drive the car. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Think of some of the orphans that could have been orphans. Think of some of the sons or daughters that could have been orphans very easily in the Bible. First one that comes to mind to me is Joseph. Talk about the possibility of becoming an orphan. You're rejected by all your brothers. Not only rejected, they find a way to scheme together to sell you into slavery. They put you in a well, and some of the brothers didn't really want to do it, but they went along with the crowd. They didn't value your life enough to stand up and say, no, we shouldn't do this, and then follow through and stop it. They all agreed that they would go ahead and leave you in a well after you had a great prophecy for your life, and you were wearing that prophecy as the multicolored coat. You could show everyone, I've had a prophecy. Look at me. You had this beautiful coat. But of course, the brothers were all orphans to one degree or another. And they couldn't handle it. They couldn't handle their young, next to the youngest brother being raised up. So they sold him into slavery. Now think if that happened in your family. Maybe you've not had the best relationship with your siblings, but have they sold you into slavery? Probably not. And then you get a chance to get out. You're sold into a wealthy family and have a good position because of your giftings, because you're saying to yourself, wow, this guy sees that I'm a leader. And God has prophesied that over my life. And then you're falsely accused. And you go from starting to rise up out of the slavery, rise up out of your situation into some kind of place of honor, place of leadership, and bam, you're put into prison for years. I think that's where Joseph made the decision. Long term, I'm going to be a son. I'm going to trust God. He fought that fight between orphan and between sonship, and sonship won. Whatever happens, I'm going to believe the prophecy over my life. I don't care if I'm in prison right now. I know the God that gave me the prophecy can bring it to pass. I don't care how much rejection I've experienced, how much accusation. I know my God is bigger than this. He fought that fight to win the battle of whether he was a son or whether he was a slave, things, and an orphan. And good things started to happen, but they happened with more tests. Because a couple people from court come down and they're in trouble with Pharaoh, and they're going to go back and talk to Pharaoh. And it happens just as Joseph prophesies. The cupbearer is restored and the baker is hung. And he thinks, wow, certainly the cupbearer will say something to the king. 2 years go by and he doesn't say anything. And Pharaoh ends up with a dream. Then the cupbearer suddenly, oh, I know this guy. I know a guy. And Joseph is released to interpret a dream. That's his way. That's his ticket out of prison. That's his ticket to the next stage of his life, which will be second in command in the land of Egypt, given freedom as an Israelite to run the country, trusted completely, given the best land, given the highest position other than Pharaoh. That's a turnaround. That's the inheritance kicking in. He started out having dreams, and they gave him his future ahead of time. And dreams were involved, a dream of a leader that he interpreted in order for him to actually receive the position he needed to receive in order to rescue his brothers, forgive his brothers. You say, well, he kind of played around with them for a while, probably enjoyed it. I don't think it was about that. I think he wanted them to trust God like he did. And so he was used as the favored son to help the other sons realize what kind of God they have, a forgiving God, a loving God. And when they came with the father, with his brother, Benjamin, who he loved so dearly, when they came, he wept. And he gave them the best of the land. And the crazy thing about it is Pharaoh didn't start thinking, oh my, they're invading, they're coming. Uh-oh. He was completely overwhelmed by God in order to give them the best land, to favor them like he had favored Joseph, because Joseph said, this is my family. He had every opportunity to be an orphan, and he stepped into the things of God before the Holy Spirit dwelt inside of people continually. It's incredible. He responded to the Holy Spirit's move on his life and the hope on his life without the Holy Spirit living right inside of him continually. Amazing. Another major person in the Old Testament that He and his friends had every right, in a sense, in the flesh, to become orphans. When Daniel and his friends were taken into captivity from Jerusalem where they lived, and then put through a leadership program where they had to trust the Spirit of God to speak wisely in order that they didn't get defiled by the king's meals. Apparently he had a lot of pork and a lot of wine. And they were able to hear the Spirit of God and work through that the guy ended up favoring them, putting them on a separate plan. Some of you have been put on a separate plan where the unbelievers around were like, why do they get this favor? Why do they get this position? Why do they get this provision for their lives? It's happened to a number of people that have gone on mission trips, that they were favored. They got time off beyond their 2 weeks or whatever it might be for a year to go on a mission trip because God turned the heart of the employer towards them. But other people on the staff were at first jealous of that happening. Why do they get this extra time off? But then as time went on, God turned their hearts and they began contributing to those trips and asking about the trips. Even the fact that a son or daughter out of their staff or out of the people they worked around went on a mission trip, they started to get a little bit of the taste of being a son or daughter by supporting what that person was doing to go on missions. God will splash the opportunity on others to be sons and daughters, favored sons and daughters, if they will support true sons and daughters. Gives them an opportunity for the gospel to hit home, for them to support God's plan in the earth. And some do without ever receiving Jesus. It's incredible. It's incredible. So Daniel and Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, you know, they're captives, they're slaves, but they rise to high position and they can't get rid of them. The people around that are jealous of their leadership, the ones in leadership, jealous of their leadership, no matter if they can fool the king, the ultimate leader, they cannot do in Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Too much favor. So they escape. Daniel escapes the lion's den. The next ones to enter the lion's den get completely gobbled. But they didn't even give him a little lick just to get a little taste of Daniel. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. Couldn't even burn them up. Couldn't burn their clothes. They didn't even smell like smoke when they walked out after that fourth person was in the fiery furnace with them. They were completely protected by Jesus. They could have felt early on like, woe is me, I'm a slave. But instead, they stepped into sonship with God and they became leaders in a foreign land just like Joseph. So what will God do with you? If you press into being a son or a daughter, what destiny will he be able to work in you? Some of us, as former orphans, think we have to work to get the destiny of God accomplished in our lives. But actually, it's receive his communication, like dreams, visions, pictures. It worked for Daniel. It worked for David. It worked for Joseph. Powerful things in the spirit
bring about a destiny for us. He's ready to do it. As we step into Him a little closer, a little deeper, He brings about a destiny that's way over our heads. It could make us fearful, but oops, we've become sons and daughters, and we fear the Lord. We don't fear man. We don't fear circumstances. Only orphans fear circumstances. And they're constantly trying to change their circumstances by themselves. Thank you, Father, that if you can rescue these people in the Old Testament, and they're not the only ones in the Bible, of course. If you can rescue them, and they had far few tools than we have. It was just you. You were the rescue. You were the light. You were the life that they needed. You were the wisdom they needed. If you were able to rescue them, we have the Holy Spirit inside. We can be rescued even easier by a long shot, because we probably don't face the desperate, desperate circumstances they faced. Think of Esther, chosen for her beauty. God brought about that beauty inside of her because she had a heart for God. And that beauty led to her becoming a slave at court. Yes, a queen, but a slave, all in the same manner. Part of a harem, not even exclusive queen. And yet you worked in her. She could have had such an orphan heart. She could have skipped Mordecai's counsel. What good will it do me? I'm in such a situation. I have to have permission to even come before my husband, the king. And he has so many choices other than me. She could have felt the rejection of that. And yet, she received the counsel of her cousin, Mordecai. Treated him like an uncle rather than a cousin. Received from the older to the younger. And he was used in many ways to support what God was doing through Esther. And she ends up with the biggest enemy against the Jews, defeating that enemy without one weapon. And the man is Haman was hanged without her having one weapon to do him in. And with the king knowing that she was from a different people than the people that he was leading. And yet he was favored. He favored her because God favored her. And the people were rescued because she stepped into being a daughter despite being a slave. Stepped into being a daughter despite her own personal circumstances of sacrifice at court. To be a queen of an ungodly man. An ungodly king. And yet God turned the heart of that king in her direction. She wasn't killed when she came into his presence, which was the penalty. If you walked into the presence of the king without permission, you could die.
And he had already taken care of one queen because of her insolence. But favor on a daughter turned the tables on the king and on the enemies of the Jews, and they were saved. Thank you, Father, for these examples of those that stepped into being sons and daughters before the Holy Spirit was inside of them continually. Certainly, we can step into that continually, being a son or daughter and rejecting the orphan heart that tries to rise up by the power of the flesh. But our spirit rising up, intertwined with Holy Spirit, is so much more powerful. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We look forward to your release, Father, of more for our sonship, for our daughtership in you. You want to release that to us. You want to blow us away with how much you love sons and daughters, with what an inheritance you give to those of us that recognize you as Father, not just as a word, but as a position on a throne in our lives. We reject orphan heart inside of us. We fully embrace being a son, being a daughter. And as we embrace that, we're embracing you, Lord. We are repentant prodigals coming home closer to your heart. We're receiving the empowering embrace of our Father that gives us position in the family. We're not just someone at the end of the table that he occasionally calls, like a David being called out of the field to become king. Far away, not thought much of by his family, called in to become king. So we may try to sit far away from the Father at the banqueting table, but he's calling us closer, because that's where the action is, that's where the empowering is, closer to his heart, close enough that he can whisper and we jump for joy and jump in obedience. That's what he wants for each of us. It may look like humility to go to the end of the table and sit and wait for others to receive their reward from the Father. But actually, he wants us to be right close to him. To be at the front of the line in our hearts to receive all that he has for us. Yes, Lord, that's so empowering. We want that. We want that, Lord. We want that. We want that, Father. We believe for that. And we'll help each other, God. As iron sharpens iron, each one of us can sharpen the other. We can point out orphan thinking. We can point out orphan talking and say, that doesn't fit in with a son or daughter, in a gentle, kind way. In a loving way. Loving rebuke from each of us to the other when we're not acting like sons and daughters, not talking like sons or daughters, not walking like sons or daughters, without feeling that any of us is in the position of judgment. That's left only to the Father. A position of vengeance. That's left only to the Father. Spiritual leaders can be in a place where they cooperate with the correction of the Lord. But they better do it with humility, because they could be corrected in the same area in a very short amount of time. We reject the enemy's voice, the enemy's schemes, the enemy's plans. We reject our own selfish plans. We always want our plans to fit in with the kingdom. Always, always, always. We will check with our Father. He's available. We'll listen to the guidance, the wisdom of the indwelling Holy Spirit. And we will make wise, wise choices because of it. We won't have to turn so many things around or take so many things back that we've said. We'll recognize when we're speaking like an orphan, when we're walking like an orphan, and we will reject that lifestyle for the lifestyle of a son or daughter of the Most High God and our Father. Lord, for those of us here and those of us online, Father, and those who watch this later, I pray, God, encounter for each person with you. These things are being said so they connect with you. So they connect personally with you. Because you take the relationship with them personally. You want it to be deep. You want it to be lasting. You don't want flashes in a pan that are excited about this being a son or daughter for one day, 2 days, a week, a month, or longer, and then they die out and they go back to orphanness. No, God, that's what the prodigal did. Had every opportunity to stay with the Father, learn from the Father, be a disciple with the Father, be a son with the Father. And he walked away from the true inheritance, the Father, and took some lower inheritance and spent it on himself. Didn't work. Never does. Thank you that Zacchaeus, with his love for money, gave it up as an idol to have true sonship with Jesus. We pray for those that are like the rich young ruler that don't get the picture. God is not trying to take away from us. He's trying to give us inheritance. Yes, Lord. Help us to step in closer for revelation, impartation right from your heart to ours. It's a great place to be. Great place to be. Thousand generations falling down in worship to sing the song of ages to the Lamb. And all who've gone before us and all who will believe will sing the song of ages to the Lamb. Your name is the highest, your name is the greatest, your name stands above them all thrones and dominions, all powers and positions, your name stands above them all. And the angels cry, holy, all creation cries, holy, you are lifted high, holy, holy forever. Generation.
falling down in worship, to sing the song of ages to the Lamb. And all who've gone before us, and all who will believe, will sing the song of ages to the Lamb. Your name is the highest, your name is the greatest, your name stands above them all thrones and dominions, all powers and positions, your name stands above them all, and the angels cry, holy, all creation cries, holy, you are lifted high, holy, holy forever, and the angels cry, holy, all creation cries, holy, you are lifted high, holy. If you've been forgiven, and if you've been redeemed, sing the song forever to the Lamb. If you walk in freedom, and if you bear His name, sing the song forever to the Lamb. We'll sing the song forever to the man. The highest, your name is the greatest, your name stands above them all thrones and dominions, all powers and positions, your name stands above them all, and the angels cry, all creation cries, holy, you are lifted high, holy, holy forever. Hear your people sing, holy, to the King of Kings, holy, you will always be, holy, holy forever. Hear your people sing, holy, to the King of Kings, holy, you will always be, holy, holy forever. You will always be holy, holy. God Almighty, who was and is to come. Holy, holy,
holy, holy,
worthy, worthy,
worthy, worthy,
is the Lamb, holy, holy,
holy, holy,
worthy, worthy,
worthy, worthy,
is the Lamb. Describe you, are you? 700 names and titles. 700 names and titles. 700 names and titles. They describe you. They are you. They show us revelation of you, Father. Our Father.
Our Father.
Our Protector.
Our Protector.
Jehovah Nissi.
Jehovah Nissi.
Our Provider.
Our Provider.
Jehovah Jireh.
Jehovah Jireh.
Our Healer.
Our Healer.
Jehovah Rapha.
Jehovah Rapha.
Lion of Judah. Roar against the enemy, Lion of Judah. Roar against the enemy. May we hear the roar of the Lord over the enemy's pretensions, the enemy's lies. It might even be a roar that's a whisper. But we should be able to hear it over the screaming, the pushiness of the enemy.
Lion of the tribe of Judah.
Lion of the tribe of Judah. Go ahead and roar. Go ahead and roar. Sons and daughters, receive. Orphans run, orphans reject. Receive, you sons and daughters, from the living God, from the living God. Receive, you sons and daughters, from the living God. From the living God, deep down in your spirit, from the living God, from the living God, receive you sons and daughters, from the living God, from the living God, right now, right now,
just see a picture where the well on the inside of us was dry like a desert. I just believe the Holy Spirit's coming right now with fresh oil and fresh water, that He's refilling those wells on the inside of our heart, that they'll be parched no more, they'll be dry no more. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for coming.
The last 24 hours have had this picture. Since I was a few hours after I fished with Caleb, a grandson and a son of the Most High, fish will be drawn to your hook. Solutions. Answers to prayer. Part of your destiny. People, when that applies, will be drawn to your hook. A job. A piece of your destiny will be drawn to your hook as you cast out as a son or daughter. Orphans, fish on the wrong side of the boat. Sons and daughters, listen to Jesus, trust Him, and put their net on the other side of the boat. You see it over and over and over again. The deepest desires of your heart, in alignment with the Father's heart, will be realized. Don't lose hope. Orphans lose hope. Sons and daughters press into hope because it's a person. Thank you, Lord. Make these things come to pass. For your glory and for the kingdom, not just for answers to some selfish prayer, God. No. We can go higher to the prayers that come right from heaven to us that we pray out and are fully in alignment with your best will for our lives. And that will be the true desire in us, the desire of a son or daughter to magnify the name of the Father. And ask those kinds of prayers that fit in. And often, always, I guess, they're the best for us, and we have the most joy from those answers. We don't want to do what we want to do and then seek your stamp of approval. That's what orphans do. Look what I've done, Father. How about you giving me a compliment or telling me I've done okay? Something. Look at me. I came up with this idea. And I acted on it. What do you think now, God? Can't you just endorse it? And then there's people like Jonathan. They don't seem to pray, but they sense what will please the Father. They're so close to you in covenant. What will please the Father is prophetic within their hearts. Oh, they pray, but they sense the Father's will within them. Yes, they contend, but they can step out with courage and risk. They just sense the Father the heart of the Father. And you bring the success, Lord. You bring the victory against the enemy. The enemy runs like 1 Samuel 14. With Jonathan and his armor bearer. Performing a military miracle against all normal military strategies. Because Jonathan could sense the heart of the Father. And that victory was in his hands. Didn't matter that he wasn't on the high ground. He was in the high ground of heaven. And he could charge up a hill, crawling. And you already won the victory at the top of the hill. He and the armor bearer just cleaned up. You let them partner in the victory. But it was won because they had your heart in their heart. Thank you, God. We can sense you tonight. What will please you? And act on that. Might be the simplest thing. Just raising our hand in surrender, or speaking a word like, I'm yours. And you will multiply that declaration by a move of our body part or simple words that we say. It doesn't have to be a long, long declaration on our part. Probably best if it's shorter. Because then we'll remember it. And we'll know when you empowered it. So it might be like a blessing over your family. Family members, some that don't know Jesus. Or some that just are living like orphans even though they know Jesus. You're not sitting in condemnation. You're not sitting in judgment. You're just kind of sensing, wow, they could step into more of Jesus and have him on their lips and in their hearts. I want to pray for them. I want to stand for them. I want to contend for them and for myself at the same time. So why don't we do that while we take the elements. I don't know if anyone was signed up to do communion tonight. If there was, you can come forth. If not, I will come forth. Okay. Well, let's find the elements somewhere near you. And while we are taking communion, we'll be lifting up our families, blessing our families. Crying out, whether we cry out with our voices, but we'll be crying out for our families while we receive from the Lord in communion. Communion has the name communion because we are actually in contact, in fellowship, in encounter with God over the fact that he died on the cross for our sins and rose from the dead. It's an incredible privilege to remember what he's done for us and take that time to do that. That's one of the reasons why we try to do that every service.
sons and daughters, remember the cross. Remember often what Jesus has done. We don't just say, well, yeah, I know that. Oh, yeah, I already know that. He knew we would be empowered in the remembering. He knew we would act like sons and daughters if we took it seriously and searched our hearts to see if there was anything not lined up with him during a time where we remembered what he's done for us. So you are free to take that after you feel like you've declared for your family or anything else he brings to your heart. Maybe he brings something different to you. Talk to him. Commune with him. If it's communion, you're communing with him more than the person leading. Jesus, I thank you for the stillness in this room. I believe that means sons and daughters are taking this seriously. It's not just something that we do by rote, but it's something we do with our whole voluntary heart, stepping towards you. To empower us through the encounter with the cross again. When we were born again, we encountered the cross and valued it for the first time. Now we're remembering that valuing. And it's changed our lives. And it can change our lives again. There's no end to the change that can come as we remember what he's done for us, how he's empowered us, how he's strengthened us, how he's moved in us.
The Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you, be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. The Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you, be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. His face shine upon you, be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen. 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 Amen.
Generations and your family and your children and the children and the children. May his favor be upon you for 1,000 generations and your family and your children and the children and the children. May his favor be upon you for 1,000 generations. And your family, and your children, and the children, and the children. May his favor be upon you for 1,000 generations. And your family, and your children, and the children, and the children. May his presence go before you, and behind you, and beside you, all around you. And within you, he is with you, he is with you. In the morning, in the evening, in your coming and your going, in your weeping and rejoicing, he is for you, 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 he is for you. He is for you, 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 he is for you. Generations and your family and your children and the children and the children. May his favor be upon you and 1,000 generations and your family and your children and the children and the children. May his favor be upon you and 1,000 generations and your family and the children, and the children, and the children. May his favor be upon you, and 1,000 generations, and your family, and your children, and the children, and the children. May his presence go before you, and behind you, and beside you, all around you, and within you. He is with you, he is with you. In the morning, in the evening, in your coming and your going, in your weeping and rejoicing, he is for you, 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 he is for you. He is for you, 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 he is for you. Amen. With you,
the Lord is for you. The Lord is with you. The Lord is for you. He said to Joshua, fear me. He commanded him to have courage in the battle. How could he command him to have courage? Because he was with him. He was for him. He was with him. He is for him. He's with you. He's for you. Receive it as a son or daughter with that heart within you now. He's with you. He is for you. Always wants to lead you to the promised land. Won't you receive? It's not about striving. It's not about trying harder. Oh, there will be work involved, but it's receiving the power of Holy Spirit, receiving the power of Holy Spirit, the direction of the Lord. He is for you. 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 He is with 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 you. Listen. Because he is for you, you can do impossible exploits, impossible things. His will for you is over your head. You can't accomplish it on your own. You need him to be with you. You need him to be for you. You need his power within you through the Holy Spirit. His power within you through the Holy Spirit. Ask him and you will receive answers that line up with his heart for you. As a son or daughter, you'll know when you're asking amiss. You're asking outside of his will. You'll make that mistake less and less as you walk with him. So I exhort you to walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh. Have ears of a son, a daughter instead of your own. Hearing, or worse, the lies of the enemy coming to your ears, and you receiving the lies that he wants to give to you to rot your heart. There will be truth and life and the way in you as you encounter his presence and his power. His presence and his power. His presence and his power. He gives both to you. They're not just good feelings. He empowers what he gives to you to do. What he gives to you to do. He is for you. He's with you.
to give you courage to fight the battles of life. Most of them are between your two ears, so let him capture your thoughts and purify. He is your king. Act like it. Bow before him in humility. Follow him always through eternity. He's also your father, so feel his embrace. May it empower you to know he's with you and he is for you. He is for you. He is for you. Such a beautiful thing. He's for you. It's true. He is for you. He's not against you. Wants you to be his success. Yes, I said his success. His success. You're his success. Not just his plan on the earth. You are his success. His success. You are his plan for the earth. For giving out the gospel to the nations and the neighborhoods. The nations and the neighborhoods. It's you. You're his plan. You're his plan. He's for you. He's with you. The mighty God. Everlasting God. Spirit of God in your temple. Thank you, Father, for this time. I pray you keep on encountering us. That's your desire. It's not just when we desire to encounter you. You will come to us and encounter us when we quiet our hearts enough in worship. Even if we're singing, we can have quiet hearts. Even if we're praying, you can come in from the side. You can come from below. You can come from above. You can come however you want to enhance, to assist, to replace whatever we're thinking about, whatever we're dwelling on. Thank you, God, for caring about us that much. May we never get used to it, never get used to it, never get used to it. May it be fresh every morning because you're faithful to us. Fresh every morning. Thank you that we're in your thoughts. Thoughts more than the sands of the seashore and the stars in the sky. We're in your thoughts. And they're positive thoughts. They're empowering thoughts because you think good about us. You really do. Eat the meat and spit out the bones. Yes, Lord. You eat what is fresh and spit out the spoiled. Thank you, God, for doing that for us. By your blood, Jesus. Thank you. We pray for an empowering week for every person, Father, receiving from you. In frontline, our partners here and overseas, the body of Christ as a whole, God, we need to receive from you as sons and daughters, and then the world will be one to Christ. Europe shall be saved. Africa shall be saved. The United States shall be saved. South America shall be saved. Asia shall be saved. Antarctica, Australia, New Zealand, going through the many countries, God, they will be saved. Even the hardest of the hardest, Iran, is being turned upside down. by the underground church spilling onto the streets in new life. Thank you, God. That's how good you are. That's how good you are. We continue in worship of you, God, and we come back on Sunday to draw together for more about how we can step into being your sons and daughters. Bless your name. Bless your name and bless each person that's in your family and beyond. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen.
So there's a quick video and then some update pictures from our team that's in Poland and was in Bulgaria. So I'm starting my 2-minute timer. Are you ready to? So we'll get everyone home here, but just wanted you guys to get a chance to. This is in Krakow at the Europe, Iris Global Europe Camp. Iris Europe Camp. So just a brief bit of worship there. They're at the camp. Rachel and Jamie arrived today, and they're well and ready. Pastor Mary Pat had a session today on prophetic evangelism and fire? Fiery prophetic. I had the actual title here.
All of
it. It was like fire, prophetic evangelism, amazingness. And then, I want to just go on. I don't recognize who that is from. Oh, that's Mel. Oh, gosh. I didn't at first. Sorry. That is Mel. That's right. So Mel Tari ministering. Obviously, Pastor Mary Pat right there in the front right. Going on. I have 56 seconds. My lovely wife and Jamie, Pastor Mary Pat, just worshiping. That is a wonderful person speaking. There is Papa Mel Tari. And ministering, and Pastor Mary Pat ministering in the session this afternoon. She's going to be ministering every single day this week in at least a workshop or a main session, one or the other. So be praying for her and the team as they support her in that. Next, Georgian Banoff and Ashley and Pastor Mary Pat. That was in Bulgaria, yes. That was back in Bulgaria. I didn't name a couple of the names. So you can go on. And that is Marta, our friend from there. Keep going. I got 10 seconds. And that is the pastors of the church there. We already did them. And is that Carol? Oh, that's Winnie. Yeah. See, I should have someone else do this. And John Arnott. That's why I was thinking Carol. No, it's John Arnott. So praise the Lord. Pray for our team. Jeremy Riddle, be blessed. Go home. Bill Johnson, and a translator that I don't recognize. And now we're moving on to Frontline's Ghana trip, led by Joshua Jacquet and et cetera. I think we're done. You are free. Bless you all.